Before we jump into today's episode, I wanted to let you know about a powerful free resource for Lent. It's a devotional excerpt from Lent and Easter for Everyone by N.T. Wright, featuring daily scripture reflections for a week to guide you from the wilderness to the wonder of Easter. Whether you observe Lent every year or you're just exploring it for the first time, this short devotional will help you slow down and grow in wisdom this season. Download your free copy today at premierinsight.org/resources. That's premierinsight.org/resources. Now on to the show.
Hi, it's Gavin.
I'm Phil.
I don't know about you, but it can sometimes feel like we're living in a bad news world. Wars, scandals, crisis after crisis.
But if you're ready to change the soundtrack and hear what God is really doing, we have a brand new podcast just for you.
We're traveling the UK, seeing people come to faith, churches grow, and new life break out.
With real stories, fresh research, and inspiring leaders, we are ready to give you a front row seat to God on the move.
Good News People is a new podcast from Premier and the Evangelical Alliance.
So listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are good news people in a bad news world.
The C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
Thank you for listening to the show that brings you the thought and theology of C.S. Lewis with me, Ruth Jackson. Discover more about Lewis by visiting premierunbelievable.com, where you can also find lots of great articles, resources, and podcasts. And you can also register there for the chance to win a free book. If you enjoy listening to the C.S. Lewis podcast, please do consider rating and reviewing it. But now for today's show.
I am very excited to be joined today by Dr. Crystal Hurd, an educator, poet, and researcher from Virginia. She's contributed a chapter on Flora Lewis, C.S. Lewis's mum, in the book Women and C.S. Lewis. And she's written her own book, The Leadership of C.S. Lewis, 10 Traits to Encourage Change and Growth. We're going to be talking about Crystal's work on various aspects of C.S. Lewis's life, as well as sharing a paper that was presented on her behalf at the 2024 Undiscovered C.S. Lewis Conference, which was held at George Fox University. The title of Crystal's paper there was How Paternal Literary Habits Influenced C.S. Lewis. Crystal, we've talked about those 10 traits and seen how Lewis displays them, but how does he help us to display some of those character traits in our own lives as leaders?
I think a lot of us are leaders in our daily lives. Like, I'm a teacher, you're a podcast host and a mom and a wife, and, you know, I'm a wife too and a dog mom. I mean, I guess that doesn't really count.
I'm a dog
mom too. Give birth to them or anything.
No, but my dog's definitely harder than my kid. So hats off to you. You've got multiple dogs.
You know, I think so many of us have like zones of influence that we're not aware of because it's our daily life, right? I'm a teacher. You know, yeah, I do my job. You know, and then at the end of the year, a kid will hand me a card or something and they'll say, you know, thank you for listening to me and thank you for, you know, giving me feedback on this. And then it reminds you, like I said, like that God uses all of us to make the world better. I used to ask kids like to write about their heroes, and I always expected celebrities, athletes, actors, musicians. But most of the time, I mean, a huge percentage of the time, it was parents, family, coaches, youth workers, pastors. Those are the people that are making a real difference. Sure, their names aren't splattered everywhere, right? And they're not famous. And thank goodness, I think being famous is terrible. I would not want to be famous. Seriously, I mean, these poor, you know, actors and musicians, stuff they get, you know, they're constantly followed and chased down. No, thank you. But, you know, they're all ordinary people lighting the corner that they're in, trying to make things better, even in their community, their village, their town. And by doing that, they have such an impact. And so when we really redefine and sort of readjust our lens to understand that we have the capacity to change things for the better, then we can harness that. instead of feeling helpless and being like, what can I do? A lot. A lot. There's so much that we can do when we work together. And I think that's what Lewis meant by, you know, when he talks about the vision and the Christian vision. But it's not about, it's not always about evangelism. I think sometimes it's just about doing what's right and being a good person and helping people, even when it's inconvenient or out of our way or hard or difficult. You pour into other people. And so many times I've heard this said, and I agree with it. Our world is very much an individualistic world, and the unity has fractured so much, which is a shame because we need each other. We need each other, especially in times like this. I feel like unity is what is going to pull us back together and help heal us. Mm. And so, you know, even as small leaders in our homes and our towns and our schools and our churches, we can make a big impact. And we need to remember that when we, you know, talk to people, and we are Christ to other people. And that is a serious responsibility. And people are watching. Mm-hmm. You know, I was reading the other day. I don't get on like social media all that much, but you know, people who are not Christian, who are atheist or agnostic, were saying, you know, wow, it's some Christians are really acting crazy right now. It's really hard. It's really hard to see anything good in Christianity when we see and read these things. And that broke my heart. That's our job. Our job is to be a light. Right. And that broke my heart. And I said, we got to work. We've got to do better to be the light of Christ. And, to, you know, the world's hurting right now. Like, it may not be a world war on or a famine or, you know, anything like that. But they're hurting people out there. And our job is to do that and to go out and do it. So I feel like Lewis empowers ordinary people to do extraordinary things because he tells us we matter to each other.
Mm. Many of us will lead in our own sphere of influence, but there's also leaders that are leading our country, that are leading in much more of a sort of high profile way. I mean, what would Lewis say that a great leader looks like, do you think?
Oh, well, I think he wrote one in Aslan. I've got one here. I think there's, well, he's sort of headless, but there's Prince Caspian.
Prince Caspian's sword.
Yes. Lucy's a great little leader, you know, for her family, because her belief carries her past the hesitancy that the rest of them have. I mean, I think he would tell people to remain humble, to stay grounded. There's a lot of temptation in leadership. It is a heavy burden, like I said earlier, but I think staying grounded in your beliefs and your faith is paramount, because you can get up really high like that and be whipped around in the winds like a flag. Mm-hmm. You have to stay grounded. You know, grounded to something, you know, just like Lewis going up there and saying, oh, I think I'm a pretty good guy. Let me hit my knees really, really quick. You know, there's always going to be flatterers. Yes. And, you know, people who want to use you for your influence or whatever, when you're doing that, stay grounded into what's real and, into the God who made you. And, yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, humility, I think, is a big part of it, because at the end of the day, if we see each other as worthy and acceptable, each other, and we see each other sort of as equal in the eyes of God, right? I think it transforms the way we see people and the way we would act and behave and lead ultimately.
The C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
We're going to take a quick break now, but if you are enjoying today's show, please do consider rating it and leaving a review on your podcast platform so that other people can discover it too.
If you've ever wrestled with questions like who goes to hell or should Christians believe in evolution, you're not alone. That's why this month, when you support Premier Insight, we'll send you a digital booklet of N.T. Wright's most thought-provoking Q&A columns as our thank you for your gift. Your support keeps content like this podcast going and helps more people grow in wisdom through biblical truth. Give today and get your copy at premierinsight.org/CS Lewis. That's premierinsight.org/CS Lewis.
Hi, it's Gavin.
I'm Phil.
I don't know about you, but it can sometimes feel like we're living in a bad news world. Wars, scandals, crisis after crisis.
But if you're ready to change the soundtrack and hear what God is really doing, we have a brand new podcast just for you.
We're traveling the UK, seeing people come to faith, churches grow and new life break out.
With real stories, fresh research and inspiring leaders, we are ready to give you a front row seat to God on the move.
Good News People is a new podcast from Premier and the Evangelical Alliance.
So listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are Good News People in a bad news world.
The C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
Welcome back to the show. We would love to hear your thoughts and ideas. Do get in touch on social media at Premier Unbelievable. Now let's return to the conversation. Crystal, I know we're going to talk specifically about Lewis's family, particularly the influence of key people in his family, such as Flora, his mum. But he was surrounded by some pretty strong female leaders, as well as male leaders. And obviously, he wrote them into some of his stories. And how would you respond to people who perhaps accuse Lewis of being a bit of a misogynist or anti-women in leadership, or maybe even just stuck in those sort of 40s, 50s stereotypes of women?
Oh, so it's interesting. When I actually did my defense, one of the people who was just observing my defense accused Lewis of being a misogynist. And it ended up spiraling into a weird conversation. And then they had to change the rules at the college for how defenses were done, because he sort of spoke out of turn, hadn't read my dissertation, just made a sort of an off-color comment. And I ended up, God takes beauty, makes beauty for ashes. So I felt a little bruised after I walked out of the defense, because I was like, okay, well, oh, wow. Okay. That was not expected. You know, I sort of flew through all the other stuff. But yes, he sort of stepped out and started talking about, well, Lewis was a misogynist and Christianity is very patriarchal and very anti this, that, this. But he wasn't a believer himself. But yeah, it was so interesting. I decided from that point that I would do my own research. So I ended up writing a 12-week series on Lewis and women. The first 6 weeks were people, women he had in his life. And then the last 6 weeks were basically fictional women that he wrote in. We're talking, you know, Lucy, we're talking Oriole, we're talking, you know, the full span of everything. So when I finished all that, and it took me a while because I dove into the letters, I dove into everything, I decided, A, no, Lewis doesn't hate women.
Good to know.
Which is sort of a lament of some people. But I actually found out that I think Lewis a lot of people accuse him of misogyny because, you know, he was in the boys' club and their women weren't officially in the Inklings and all that stuff. I think that's more cultural but I didn't live in Oxford in the 40s, but, but, you know, his female students were actually very, very generous about how he was very kind and cordial and always very courteous to them. I never heard any, you know, I've never read anything. Well, Ayn Rand, supposedly, didn't she go to one of his lectures and didn't like him or something?
Yeah. But there's probably guys that did that as well though, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, I haven't read Atlas Shrugged, so whatever. But But yeah, I mean, and I think it's important to know that when Lewis left, when he was, you know, sort of winding down and he left the Socratic Society, he actually suggested that Elizabeth Anscombe replace him as, you know, as heading the club. He respected her. And a lot of people want to say, oh, this, that whole chapter three of miracles, you know, debate was bad. You know, was, he saw that as something very negative. I don't think so. I think he iron sharpens iron, and, you know, and I felt like he made that suggestion because he respected her mind, and thought she was an excellent replacement for him. Mm. So, yeah, I don't get it. And the book Women and C.S. Lewis talks about, you know, from different perspectives, it's kind of a kaleidoscope, really, that book is, because every person takes sort of their own avenue towards like what they're approaching. But Lewis grew up around incredibly intelligent women, some of them very outspoken. I don't feel like at all that he was intimidated by women like that. I think he felt that they were equally qualified to do a lot of good things. And Flora, you know, was interesting because you know, she went to school way before women were actually allowed to, you know, accept prizes, and the men in the classroom were openly hostile towards women when she was a student, and yet she remained there, did incredibly well. And a lot of books about Queens during that time, Queens University, mentioned that, you know, women kind of talked their parents into school because they said, this will make me an educated wife and mother so that I'm able to raise my children, educate my children in a way. And that was sort of how they got past the watchful dragons of you know, sexism and, you know, discrimination. They're sort of like, well, you don't want a dummy raising your kids, right? So, like, you know, and so that was sort of like, that was during the 1880s, 1870s, 1880s, that was sort of like the prevailing topic. Well, let's let these women in because they're going to be mothers one day, and they're going to be household, you know, domestic leaders. So they need to have the same types of yeah, and that was a working idea. But, you know, Flora, because she did so well, was one of the females that they used her accomplishments to eventually win, you know, women going full time into the school. It was actually Flora's accomplishments that they used to turn the tide on that.
Wow. Well, we're going to talk about Flora more because she was clearly incredible.
Sorry.
But don't apologize.
Jumping the gun. Sorry.
But just as we finish this episode on leadership, does Lewis ever explicitly talk about leadership in any of his work?
Yeah, actually, in Equality, the essay Equality, he makes this great joke. Of course, he's so witty that I couldn't run a hen house, much less a government. and sometimes people do act like animals, so a hen house is probably not that far off as an analogy. But, you know, he says a lot of us, because we are fallen individuals, because we're prone to sin, that leadership can be very tempting and can be a trap for a lot of people that don't have their head screwed on right, right? For people who want the fame and the perks and they don't really want the hard work, and they see all the, you know, they see all the, you know, all the beautiful things they can have through leadership, but they don't realize how much work it really is if they want to do well, right, in that position.
Where can we go to find out more about this within Lewis? If we want to find out more about leadership and Lewis, what would be some of the works of his that you would recommend we read, Crystal?
Oh, well, if you're looking for examples, Narnia has a lot of great examples. And I actually mention in my book, the Leadership of C.S. Lewis, I talk about the fictional examples. Oriel was a great leader. The people thought she did a good job, But under the veil, there was a lot of issues and problems and personal struggles that she had, right, over her sister and, you know, love, sort of rejected love. And there was a lot of things that personally she dealt with. It didn't always obstruct her leadership, but occasionally it did, you know. And so I feel like there's a lot of great examples of leadership. But yeah, Lewis, the equality essay is a really good place to go. Mere Christianity is kind of sprinkled with all the wisdom. So there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of pieces of his perspective that are in there. But he didn't talk a whole lot about it. If you go into the letters, he does talk about Winston Churchill. He talks about Hitler. There are a lot of observations in the letters.
Thank you for listening to the C.S. Lewis podcast with me, Ruth Jackson. Many of the topics that we've touched on today are discussed in greater detail on earlier episodes of the program. Check out our archive of past shows at premierunbelievable.com, where you can also find lots of great articles, videos, and podcasts. Plus, if you register on our website or sign up for our newsletter there, then you will get exclusive access to new content, free resources, and more. That's premierunbelievable.com. What did you think of today's show? Are there any topics or works of C.S. Lewis that you would like us to explore next? We would love to hear from you. Send us an email, unbelievable@premier.org.uk. Connect with us on X, formerly known as Twitter, @premierunbelievablefe, or drop us a direct message on Instagram or Facebook @premierunbelievable. We have also recently launched on TikTok, so if that's your thing, or you know anyone else who might be interested, then you can find us there @premier.unbelievable. Your feedback and thoughts are so important to us, so please get in touch. If you're enjoying the C.S. Lewis podcast, please do consider rating and reviewing it on whatever platform you're listening on, as it helps more people to discover the show. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.
Hi, it's Gavin.
And Phil.
I don't know about you, but it can sometimes feel like we're living in a bad news world. Wars, scandals, crisis after crisis.
But if you're ready to change the soundtrack and hear what God is really doing, we have a brand new podcast just for you.
We're traveling the UK, seeing people come to faith, churches grow, and new life break out.
With real stories, fresh research, and inspiring leaders, we are ready to give you a front row seat to God on the move.
Good News People is a new podcast from Premier and the Evangelical Alliance.
So listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are Good News People in a bad news world.